Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled.
From the studio gym where excuses never apply.
It's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, hey, welcome back to another episode of Superhuman Radio. Today is the last day of the month, March 31st, and we have a special episode of the Pep Talk today with Dr. Heather Smith-Fernandez. We're going to talk about immunity, autoimmunity, peptides, and fasting, and how to use these very powerful tools together. But before we do that, we have to thank our title sponsor, and that's Legendary Foods. SHRnetwork.biz/legendary is the URL to use to get to the single best high-protein, low-sugar snack you will ever eat that is delicious. Their new red velvet cake-style tasty pastry was designed to take the place of a Pop-Tart, but it's become so much more than that. It's flaky, and it's delicious. And the flavors they keep launching just get better and better. 20 grams of protein, less than a gram of sugar. Go to shrnetwork.biz/legendary. Use the code SHR10. Now, let's say you're just a little too cheap to spring. You can try to win a box. We give away several boxes every single day. Just listen to the secret word during the commercial breaks. Email it to onair@superhumanradio.net. Please include your address. It saves an entire lengthy step of me emailing you back and saying, hey, congratulations, you won. Send me your address. Include your address. And like I said, we give away a couple, three a day now. So your odds are pretty good to win a box. So do that today. Check it out. And now without further delay, my guest. Let me get my imagery up here. I'm doing it all. I'm doing the interview. I'm producing the show. Hi, Dr. Heather Smith-Fernandez. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Hi, Carl.
Pleasure to have you.
Superhuman community. It's so nice to be here.
So, fasting has taken on a life of its own. Peptides have taken on a life of their own. Although peptides have hit a little bump in the road.
Yes.
We had all of these amazing peptides being released and introduced as quickly as the science was available on them. But just that fast, the FDA kind of put their foot on that brake. I know that they were acting on behalf of the pharmaceutical industry. They have no other reason to stop this. That's kind of taken a lot of very valuable peptides out of physicians' hands, hasn't it?
It really has, and it's such a shame because they haven't really came forth and said why they made this decision. But a peptide is, by definition, pretty much, you know, for years and years and years across other countries, across other cultures, a peptide means 50 amino acids or less. And for some reason, our FDA decided that that's no longer going to be the definition of a peptide. And a few other things. It wasn't the only decision that they made. But now anything over 40 amino acids is not considered a peptide. So a peptide is 40 amino acids or less. And there's quite a few very popular peptides that are no longer able to be made in compounding pharmacies. And there were some other things that they changed, such as how they're allowed to, you know, classify or obtain the raw ingredients, how they're supposed to be putting these molecules together. So that wasn't the only thing, but it was a big one to change the definition of what a peptide is versus a protein. Anything over 40 amino acids is now considered pretty much a protein. So we lost access pretty quickly to probably one of the most popular peptide combinations was CJC ipamorelin. That's the growth hormone releasing hormone combined with a growth hormone releasing peptide. Very, very powerful peptide, very well tolerated, allowing our patients and our people to just get tremendous results and sustainable use of this peptide. And unfortunately, that one being off the, not being able to be being made. So there's still some compounding pharmacies that have some supply, but that's going to be dwindling and going away over the course of probably the next 6 months, maybe we'll get one more year out of some of that. So that's a little discouraging. There's others, 5-amino-1-MQ. I don't know if you've ever talked about that peptide, but boy, that was a wonderful peptide.
Which one? Which one? Yeah.
5-amino-1-MQ.
Oh, yeah. I've tried it. Yeah.
So that had so much promise, especially because it was a little oral capsule. It was really helping with performance, and it was helping people with fat loss. I could probably spend the whole hour talking about, I don't want to be a boohoo about the peptides we don't have available, because we still have a really nice arsenal of peptides available to us. And we're working to bring some of these back. We're in the peptide physician community. We're all trying to do what it is that they need us to do that.
So CJC-1295 mm-hmm. / or versus CJC-1295 with DAC, I feel that it's been a big mistake for pharmacies and peptide manufacturers to allow this nomenclature. And hear me out.
Sure.
Because CJC-1295 without DAC isn't CJC-1295. It's modified growth factor 1 through 29. It already had a name. But CJC-1295, which was the long-acting secretagogue, it attached itself to the albumin. It stayed active for up to 7 days, but it had its greater activity in the first 3 days. And this is actually not a good thing for the human body, because we are not used to having this big trough of growth hormone all the time.
Right.
We're used to having troughs and peaks, and men and women pulse at different rates, blah, blah, blah. And so, but people wanted to capitalize on the craze of, well, this is CJC-1295 without DAC. No, then it's not CJC-1295. CJC-1295 is specifically the long-acting secretagogue, growth hormone releasing hormone secretagogue. And if it doesn't have DAC, then it's just modified growth factor 1 through 29. I kind of feel like they pandered to people's unknowing. Oh, well, this is CJC-1295, but it's a different kind. No. What do you think? Am I being too critical of the industry?
I don't think you're being too critical. I think that there's not a lot of explanation on the background of those peptides and the difference between them. And so being able to bring something new, it's different, it's better, isn't always the case. And certainly it's not right for every person. I agree with you. I prefer anything that can, you know, simulate the body's own natural mechanism. It's so important. We know that we don't know everything there is to know about how important those pulsatile functions are, but we certainly know that they're pulsatile for a reason. And, you know, just like you were saying, the best comparison is the difference between how peptides increase your circulating growth hormone levels versus how recombinant human growth hormone does if you're injecting that. I mean, those are two dramatically different clinical pictures.
So, with that being said, why did we lose GHRP 6 and 2?
I don't know.
They just arbitrarily said, "Hey, you can't use this anymore."
And that happened before all of that happened.
That
a
was
while
the
back.
That I was the I think that that was the first sign of overreaching by the FDA. They came into compounding pharmacists and they said, "You can't sell this anymore." And the compounding pharmacist said, "Why? You can't sell it anymore." Like, you know, I understand that the FDA is supposed to be the firewall between the safety of the public and predatory pharmaceutical companies, but that's not working. So, like, why don't they have to provide substantial data to show why they are taking these overreaching actions? Why don't they? Why doesn't someone in the medical side put together a coalition and say, we want the FDA to explain these? I mean, if they're based in science, let's hear it. We'd love to know it.
Well, we actually kind of did that. We all got together and we made a mission statement and an agreed upon statement, put signatures on it, and we made some effort when this was early on. Surprisingly, I agree with you. In my understanding, the FDA has many purviews, but removing a substance that has never been shown to cause any injury to somebody, they agreed in their statements that nobody was harmed by these peptides. So if nobody was harmed by the peptides, then it didn't make a lot of sense. You know, they even admitted there's not been an injury to anybody or to
generally,
a patient.
Yeah, generally regarded as safe. It was GARAS. It was generally regarded.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so to be able to even say that, but then to that just doesn't make any sense. That to me says, well, you know, I thought that their main function was, look, if something is in there, that's to protect the people. But the peptides are safe. They even said it. So there hasn't really been what we as physicians consider, you know, an acceptable answer to that. And I remember when I said, why aren't they making it anymore? And the compounding pharmacies didn't know. They just said, we can't make it anymore.
There's another aspect to this. And this is protection of intellectual property. And I mean, I remember when ARA 290 came out, we did a show and the groundswell of interest in ARA 290 was phenomenal. So much so that it got the patent holders' attention somewhere in the northeast of the United States. And they reached out to my show and they said, you need to take that show down. You did about ARA 290. That's patent protected, you know. And they also reached out to the doctor I had on. Mm-hmm. And threatened her. And so we had to take the show down. And that was like, when that happened, I was like, oh, man. And then they reached out to compounding pharmacists and said, you can't compound this. We have a patent on this, which I don't understand how you can patent something that naturally occurs in the body, just for the record. You know what I mean? We're treading into some really dangerous ground right now where the FDA may say, hey, breathing, we have control over that. You're breathing too frequently. You know, I mean, I know that sounds stupid, but yeah.
No, but it's going in that direction. I'm also a regenerative medicine doctor, so I use autologous products, PRP, isolated regenerative cells, those kinds of products to help all kinds of conditions in the body. And I'm a walking billboard for it. I've had lots of my own body parts treated that way. And there's a big concern because one of the things that's really protected PRP is that it is, you know, it doesn't fall under the purview of the FDA because it is your own body tissue. And how you process it is, you know, which equipment you use and all of those things have to be approved and safe. But if now we're leaning into, well, parts of your own body are now going to be regulated by a government industry, that's a little frightening.
It is. So let's move past this for a second, because there are still lots of wonderful therapies out there that haven't been attacked yet. I say yet. Yes. Anything that proves efficacious generally gets the scrutiny. And think about that from a patient standpoint, by the way. Anything that proves to be effective in helping you, that's what they want to get rid of. Think about that. You should be pissed off at that as a patient.
Yeah, probably the biggest, most recent example of that is the removal of thymosin alpha-1. So thymosin alpha-1, it's bioidentical, an extremely safe peptide. It's so efficacious for so many things, including autoimmune conditions, which is something I think we're going to talk about in a little bit in more detail. But thymosin alpha-1 had orphan drug status. It was on FDA approved under orphan drug status as a brand name. And all of a sudden, here we go. We're not allowed to use thymosin alpha-1 anymore.
It had one very, very dangerous potential effect. And that was it seemed to be effective against the COVID virus. And
well,
you don't do anything that's effective against COVID unless you get Fauci and his team's approval at AstraZeneca. No, I'm being facetious, but this is the truth. As soon as people started saying thymosin alpha-1 for coronavirus, that's when they put a target on thymosin alpha-1's head and they shot it. That was it.
Right, and they started making nasty phone calls to physicians also. You know, they meaning the big organization with the COVID-19. It's a virus. You know, we know thymosin alpha-1. Actually, there are three published papers that show thymosin alpha-1 helped with the current pandemic virus, but it helps with all the viral infections. It's not just about that. But yeah, it's really unfortunate because it's an amazingly safe peptide even in young people. You know, the youngest person that thymosin alpha-1 was used in was 13 months old. So you think about our kids and all the toxins that they're exposed to and trying to help their immune system stay regulated. It would be a tremendous peptide for that. And now we're just going to have to fight for it. We are fighting for it, though. I want you and your audience to know that we are not just rolling over. We are fighting for these things.
Good. So let's talk about autoimmunity for a second.
Okay.
A lot of things are coming forth over the past couple of years that we're now understanding have an autoimmune component. Osteoarthritis was once thought to be the result of weight bearing on the joints. We know that that's not true now, because obese people get osteoarthritis in their neck and in their fingers, and those aren't weight bearing joints. So now we know that it's from inflammation. And when we talk about inflammation, inflammation is the army of the immune system. So what we're talking about is the immune system attacking your own tissue. So a couple years ago, a good study showed that one of the earliest signs of Parkinson's disease was chronic constipation. And then another study came out that looked at something found in the gut that seems to be present in the plaque in the brain, the alpha-synuclein plaque. And so now they're starting to think, well, maybe Parkinson's disease has an autoimmune component to it. Well, I'm starting to think that all diseases of modernity, the chronic diseases, you're not born with them, but as you get older, you get them. Everybody knows they're going to get one of them. They're all autoimmune in nature. If you had to look 20 years out, seeing what you're seeing on the front lines, can you predict we're going to find out this is autoimmune in nature or this has an autoimmune component to it? Any other diseases that we're treating right now that aren't considered autoimmune in nature?
Yes, I know this is my prediction of understanding what I understand from my practice of medicine is we're going to find a lot of dementia that is autoimmune regulated. We're going to find a lot of psychiatric problems, especially anxiety. We already know that there's a huge link between the gut and the brain. And so much autoimmunity begins or is fueled by some things that are happening in the gut that shouldn't be happening there. So I think that the behavioral things in younger and younger people, we're going to see that it is an autoimmunity. When I say autoimmunity, I'm talking about a dysregulated immune system that's just gone off the rails. It's overworking in this area and underperforming in this area. So yes, I believe that those are some, and dementia and cognitive decline is a huge problem. It's a massive problem in our country and in other countries where, you know, people can't live independently anymore. There's no quality of life for a lot of years or diminished quality of life. And I believe that this state of inflammation, it comes back to the immune system being dysregulated.
Yeah, it's shocking. I think we're going to find out 20, 30 years from now that so many other diseases. You know, I see peripheral neuropathy in a host of people that don't display metabolic dysregulation, but they clearly are having peripheral blood flow issues where these small blood vessels are choking off and they're killing the nerves that they feed. And I have to believe that that's an autoimmune response.
I think that there's no reason to not be investigating that direction. And when we think about autoimmunity, a lot of people don't know that, you know, there's a huge amount of thyroid disease is an autoimmune disease. MS is an autoimmune disease. There's a lot of unnamed autoimmune phenomenon. There's autoimmune polyarthropathies. There's lupus. There's autoimmune presentations that don't even have a name yet.
Right.
That really goes to show that this state of inflammation is really setting us up for a lot of these problems. The other thing is the presence of chronic infection. So the presence of chronic infection diminishes your immune system. It weakens your immune system and it starts to dysregulate your immune system because you're dealing with this enemy that's constantly there. And it can come from overgrowth of certain bacteria in the gut. There's a lot of focus on the teeth, having these chronic persistent infections in the teeth. Mold, the presence of mold is not always that easy to identify. It doesn't show up on blood tests all the time. It doesn't show up in urine tests all the time. But mold just cripples the immune system. It dysregulates it. So the presence of chronic infection. So, you know, when you're thinking about if you've been exposed to, and Lyme disease is probably one of the classic examples, there's so many patients who go on to develop an autoimmune condition after they've been struggling with a Lyme infection.
Okay, so let's get into this. So give me the prelude to the discussion about treating autoimmune disorders with peptides and fasting. How do they work together?
I actually love how peptides and fasting work together because, as your audience knows, the benefits of fasting, there's different ways of fasting. Most of the time in my practice, I do recommend intermittent fasting And when I say intermittent fasting, it's really intermittent feeding. That seems to be the easiest lifestyle change for patients to adopt, at least to start with. And then sometimes they do so well with that, they go on to do a 24-hour once a week fast. Sometimes they're a little more aggressive with it. But that daily fast of 16 hours where you're eating in an 8-hour window, we work towards that. If they're starting fresh and they've never fasted before, yeah. I'm gentle with them. I start with, let's start with writing down when you're actually eating. And, so many people are eating right before they go to bed. It's just such a cultural thing for us. And a lot of times they're eating ice cream
yeah.
or cake, or cookies or something right before they go to bed.
Right.
And that can be so disruptive to sleep, or they're, drinking, their evening drinks all the way up until the time they go to bed. So we start working on that stuff immediately. So I like to get them fasting, not eating meals in the first thing in the morning and not eating until around noon. And so during that, and then they have to stop eating by 8 o'clock. And this is the average person who gets up at 6 or 7 in the morning and goes to bed at 10 o'clock at night. So I like to use the growth hormone secretagogues. If we're doing intermittent fasting like that, then using the sermorelin is what we have now, or CJC or tesamorelin, 90 minutes after their last meal, when they're getting ready to go to bed, using it then. And I like to have them use it again in the morning, especially if they exercise in the morning. Now, not everybody can exercise in a fasted state. I think that's a little bit more advanced for some people. But even if they just go for a walk, just, get everything moving, go for a walk, start getting that mindset on positive things, even if they're not doing a heavy workout in a fasted state, it's a great place to start. And the BPC 157 is orally wonderful to be using in the morning and at night in a fasted state. Mm-hmm. And thymosin alpha 1, you can use whether you're fasting or not. It doesn't affect that at all. Now, if they're going to fast like what we do with Prolon, where it's a 5-day fast mimicking program, or they're going to fast for 5 or 6 days, I don't usually have them using growth hormone secretagogues, because those programs drop the growth hormone until the refeeding stage.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. And a lot of people think fasting raises growth hormone, and it does temporarily.
Yeah.
During the initial fasting period when ghrelin is doing its job. But yeah. once hunger passes, you stop making growth hormone because the ghrelin goes away.
Mm-hmm.
And ghrelin just suppresses somatostatin. People put a lot of faith in ghrelin and ghrelin agonists. I even see some doctors misappropriately telling their patients all they need is zipamorelin. And maybe they can get a little something out of it. But if you're not using a growth hormone releasing hormone in conjunction with a somatostatin blunting agent, take your foot off the brake and step on the gas, you just don't get the response. And we have to attribute this information to a guy 10 years ago that had a website, and his name was Dat Be True. He ended up going to jail. Oh, no, he didn't go to jail, but he got arrested and he was home incarcerated. But he taught all the doctors back then about using a growth hormone releasing hormone with a growth hormone somatostatin blunting agent to mm-hmm. get the most out of it. It's really fascinating.
I agree with you 100%. The only patients I've seen that seem to do well with zipamorelin by itself are elderly patients mm-hmm. whose goals are just different. Their goal is to sleep better. Their goal is to feel a little more refreshed. They're not the elderly who are running triathlons and doing things like that. But that's a pretty narrow group. I agree with you. I think that we're missing the boat when we're using zipamorelin by itself and everybody else.
Now, zipamorelin and other ghrelin agonists are great to use if you're trying to stimulate hunger. This is another area where elderly people can benefit from ghrelin agonists because, 125 micrograms of a good ghrelin agonist, and literally minutes later, you're ready to eat a meal. And the beauty of this is not only does it prime you to be hungry, but it actually kicks gastric motility in high. So you digest your food more thoroughly and faster as well. I know people who've been diagnosed with horrible GERD, where after a meal, an hour later, they literally vomit. And I've talked to them and said, why don't you try GHRP6, because they're buying it from some black market or whatever. And I'd say, just try GHRP6 at 200 micrograms about a half hour before your meal. And sure enough, because it's a gastric prokinetic with none of the negative side effects of the drug type gastric prokinetics. It's amazing stuff for elderly people. It really is.
Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly. I think it's, you know, it's awesome. My other peptide that, you know, when we're talking about fasting and even with inflammation and immunity that isn't affected by fasting, and it's not actually a peptide, it's actually a small molecule, but it's pentosan polysulfate. Mm-hmm. And pentosan is a really interesting substance when you start really working with it with patients. I have just some incredible turnaround stories with pentosan by itself, not even in combination with the other peptides they usually combine it with, when it comes to that joint pain and dysfunction. You know, and I believe that as we go forward, if we use pentosan more frequently, and like I'm using it now as a maintenance, as an ongoing repair, just a couple times a year, intramuscularly. I'm not even putting it in the joint. A lot of the initial studies were talked about putting pentosan in the joint. But when pentosan does, is it actually starts repairing articular cartilage, which is really a holy grail for us. I mean, a lot of times we've been using cells and we've been using, you know, all things to try to actually repair articular cartilage. And it's been a little bit of we get some successes, but you have to do a very invasive procedure, you know, going intraosseous with these substances to try to get that cartilage plate to regrow. When you can use an intramuscular peptide, two courses a year, and you're regrowing articular cartilage, you're slowing the osteoblastic activity of breaking down, you're stimulating chondrocytes, slowing down osteoblasts, and modulating matrix metalloproteinases. So you're actually creating a healthier joint environment in all of your joints, not just in one that you're sticking a needle into. So that's one of those maintenance peptides, and that really helps modulate the inflammation that's going on. We think about all of our structures that are getting damaged by the presence of chronic inflammation. And with autoimmunity, that's always a factor.
Now, we have a gift for you. We're going to take a break. But if you're watching the show or listening to the show, if you go to shrnetwork.biz/free gift, you'll get the PDF peptology. Plus, you'll also have an opportunity to sign up for Dr. Heather's newsletter. And what will people find in peptology?
Well, what I did was I put together a PDF of the 10 most common conditions treated with peptides. And some of these peptides are, we were bringing them to market, and now there's a little delay on them. But I felt like it was still relevant for everybody to know how powerful peptides are in all these different areas, where peptides are serving us as human beings to prevent disease, to keep us healthy, to keep us, you know, sharp and enjoying life and participating in our life. So it's the 10 most common conditions treated with peptides. There's probably some peptides in there you may not have heard of, which is kind of exciting. So please check it out and just enjoy. And I hope you're as excited about peptides after reading that than I am.
shrnetwork.biz/free gift. Go there now. We're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to talk more about peptides. We're going to talk about peptides that are good to use when you're in a fed state. Stay tuned. Right now. Getting a massage post-workout is a proven strategy to facilitate better recovery. Getting to massage therapists can be difficult and expensive, especially in these times. The solution is the Meteor, a heated massage ball from Myostorm. Reduce pain and soreness and expedite recovery with the Meteor's research-backed vibration settings and therapeutic heat. It's convenient for travel and works on any body part. Go to shrnetwork.biz/Meteor and use code SHR15 for 15% off and free shipping if you buy two or more. Start recovering better today.
New Mass Pro Synthogen X2 just upped its own legendary game. To distance itself even further from the rest of the pack, Synthogen X2 now has double the key active ingredients. If you've ever wondered what steroid-like recovery feels like, Synthogen X2 delivers. See why others compare it favorably to powerful bodybuilding drugs at Synthogen.com. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
Whether your goal is to build muscle or burn fat, you'll find everything you need at Redcon One. Need help getting a good night's sleep? Try Fade Out, or the most popular pre-workout supplement on the market today, Total War. Sign up for their new Transformation Challenge and win $10,000. Or shop for apparel that people at the gym will know that you are serious about your training. Need a testosterone booster that works? Check out Boomstick. Whatever you need, you'll find the best quality supplements on the market at Redcon One. Go to redcon1.com. That's R-E-D-C-O-N, the number one.com, or go to superhumanradio.net and click the Redcon One banner ad today.
Peptology. The power of light can be truly life-changing and an important element for every superhuman. Because of this, I want you to experience the power of award-winning Saluma light therapy. Saluma utilizes NASA research technology to improve health at the cellular level and is cleared by the FDA to effectively treat a variety of pain, muscle and joint conditions, as well as facial wrinkles and acne. Our entire team here at Superhuman Radio uses it. Its innovative shape-taking design allows for easy placement anywhere on the body. Choose from 13 different models. For an exclusive listener discount, go to shrnetwork.biz/Seluma. That's C-E-L-L-U-M-A. And use code SHR10 to save 10% off of one of these award-winning devices.
Do you remember those delicious toaster pastries you had when you were a kid? You know, the rectangular sugar-filled snacks? Well, guess what? Legendary Foods has just made low-carb toaster pastry. This is the first of its kind, and honestly, these things are amazing. They have 3 to 4 net carb, less than 1 gram of sugar and 9 grams of protein. You can eat them right out of the wrapper or lightly toast them. The only question is, which flavor? Strawberry or brown sugar cinnamon? They're available at eatlegendary.com and Amazon.
TaylorMade Health is focused on making sure you're able to perform and look your best. They are a leader in game-changing supplements and cosmetic products. Whether you want to increase strength, expedite recovery, facilitate soft tissue repair, or reduce deep wrinkles, TaylorMade Health has you covered. TaylorMade Health is also the home to Dr. Seed's products such as BPC, BPC Plus, and the Chill Pill. All of my listeners can now get 20% off their first order with code TRY20. That's TRY20. This code can even be used on subscription orders. Visit shrnetwork.biz/try20 today and use code TRY20 for 20% off your first order.
Move over, superheroes. This is the Superhuman Channel.
Welcome back. We're talking with Dr. Heather Smith Fernandez. We're talking about autoimmune disorders, peptides, fasting, and all these things that kind of work hand in hand and build off of each other. So I want to tell a real quick story because it fits into the discussion. I never knew I had a kidney stone. Apparently it was very small, but I passed it Sunday and it was very painful. Anybody who's ever done this knows. I mean, I didn't sleep that night. I felt like I was going to vomit every 10 seconds. The pain was excruciating. It moved from the back to the front, down into the groin. And then eventually I passed the stone. I felt it come out. Well, the next morning, I took 5 milligrams of thymosin beta-4 because thymosin beta-4 is amazing for helping the kidneys recover from injury. And I thought, what a wonderful thing that I have access to this in my refrigerator. I mean, it's like, and I realized that what the FDA and Big Pharma doesn't want us to do is have access to things that help us. They want us to have to go there and ask them to fix something for us. And quite frankly, the choices that they give us for repair don't repair anything. They just mask symptoms. So, I feel very fortunate to have that on hand.
And so do I. I feel the same way. And I think it's that you know, those of us that have had such wonderful experiences with peptides, that we feel very passionate about keeping access available and doing what we need to do to try to do that. You know, whether it's conducting the clinical research, you know, applying for an IRB, which then has to become an IND, all of those are very expensive things. So we all have to collectively come together and figure out how to pay for all of that. But it's worth it to do everything that we can do. And thymosin beta 4, you know, it's just an amazing peptide. We're moving forward. We're not sure if we're going to have the injectable readily available to us. I think that they've said that they don't want us to have that. The alternative is an oral form of a thymosin beta 4 fragment, and it's part of the molecule, and it's now in a capsule form. So it's certainly better than not having anything. It's not going to have the same potency to be able to do, you know, 5 milligrams like that. But it's better than not having it at all, I think. So we're going to continue to work with it. I was thinking about another peptide with fasting on break that I forgot to mention. I can't believe I forgot this. It's one of my favorite peptides. AOD 9604. Are you right. familiar with AOD?
Yeah.
AOD, when you're using it for, when you're using it to lean as well as repair, you can use it at any time in a fasted or a fed state if you're using it for repair. But if you're using it to burn fat and help your lean muscle, then using that during a fasting program it makes it much more effective.
Now, one of my frustrations with AOD 9604 is that I started to experiment with it probably 13 years ago. It was originally called Fragment 171 through 191. It was a fragment of growth hormone that was attributed with the fat loss properties of growth hormone.
That's what they brought it to market as.
Yeah, and you had to inject it 5 or 6 times a day at about 150 micrograms each time, and you did see fat loss. You really did. But I thought, why not just use growth hormone? You know, to me, I don't know, we demonize growth hormone, you know. We'll give it to children with short stature in very large doses every week. And right. apparently it's safe for them. But God forbid you give an old codger like me a couple IUs a day, 5 days a week. Oh, now you're just breaking all the laws and all the rules. It's just this. That's what I'm saying. Even medicine has abandoned critical thinking. When you look at how they decide on things, well, this it's okay. That it's not okay.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just silly.
It's frustrating. It's very frustrating, and it's really hard to be trying to explain it to patients who are wondering, you know, well, what am I paying all this money for health insurance for if, you know, this is all I have an option for? I don't have an answer for that. It's really frustrating. And then things that are, you know, have been shown to be safe. And growth hormone, growth hormone has some really exciting properties. There was a time when growth hormone was actually being used the same way testosterone was being used at the site of injury, where you were actually compounding very small concentrations of it and injecting it into the site of injury and directly activating the receptors at the site of injury and getting tremendous results. And that research is actually kind of old. And once they started hyper-regulating the ability to prescribe it, and the same thing with testosterone, all of that opportunity of being able to maybe go further down that road kind of went away.
So you were talking about polysorbate what's it called? Polysorbate pentosan?
Pentosan polysulfate?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So yeah. I had a doctor who used to be from Florida. I think he's passed away. His name was Dr. Alan Dunn. And he had a clinic in Florida called the Intra-Articular Growth Hormone Recovery Institute. And he was treating athletes and average people who mm-hmm. were slated to get knee replacement. And they wanted to try something before they went in and did this very invasive procedure.
Yes.
And he would inject 20 IUs of growth hormone in a media. It may have been a large molecular weight hyaluronic acid gel.
Yeah.
And he would use a ultrasound, and he'd go into the capsule joint of the knee, and he would squirt this 20 IUs in there. Mm-hmm. And he'd do that once a week for 3 weeks. And then you went home. And then you came back in 6 months, and cartilage, like not just chondrocytes sprouting, but the blood vessels from bone on bone would start to sprout out of the bone, and then chondrocytes would grow from those. And he showed perfectly that you can regrow cartilage, something that the average hip replacer / knee replacer doctor will argue with forever. But
right.
like growth hormone, if you know, I get it. You know, it was a drug used by athletes, and now we make medical policies based on what. Athletes take Ritalin. We don't see them telling kids who have ADHD, now we can't give you this anymore because the athletes abuse it. They're very selective on what they outlaw. It's just funny to me, really
yeah.
funny.
I know. I don't disagree. I don't understand all of their ways.
So talk about peptides to use during feeding states.
Well, during feeding states, the ones that I basically use I definitely like BPC 157. I use a lot of BPC. I use it in fairly high doses. It's been shown to be safe in extremely high doses, and I've seen that in myself and in my practice. And now that BPC is oral, you can take it in a fasted state, especially works very, very well if you're having hiatal hernia problems or any kind of reflux or something is disagreeable. BPC will acutely resolve those symptoms in most of the cases. It's very effective at that, rather than, you know, going for Tums or something that isn't really terrific for your gut. You can take BPC and resolve those symptoms, but you can also take it in a fed state, and it's going to absorb really well. You don't have to worry about that. The other peptide for sure that I tell people, well, two of them to take with something on their stomach is melanotan and PT-141. Melanotan is a tanning peptide, and it can make people feel very nauseated, and that nausea is really much more severe if you're in a fasted state. It's easily 30% of my patients who have used it, and people that I know who have used it that have to struggle with the nausea. And PT-141 has less occurrence of nausea, but when the nausea happens with PT-141, it can be just a real party killer. It really severe. So it makes that better if those substances are used in a fasted state.
So I use Melanotan 2 every morning. I compound my own intranasal spray at home. I have lots of intranasal bottles, sterile and all that sort of stuff. And I do 100 micrograms in each nostril in the morning, 250 pumps. And I can tell you that I never get nauseous, no matter how large of a dose I do, Now, if I inject it, I will absolutely get nauseous. And the other thing I've noticed is that the more melanin you have in your skin, which I obviously have a bunch, the more nauseous you get. I know a lot of fair-skinned people that will inject it, and they're like, no, I don't feel nauseous at all. Have you seen that?
I haven't seen that. I'm about as white as they come, and I get pretty nauseous with it.
Okay.
But I think it probably has something more to do with the constitution. How sensitive is your tummy? My tummy is very sensitive. But I haven't seen that, you know, people that have more melanin, getting more nauseous. That's just been in my experience. I haven't seen that, but I do see, it's very frequent. And so we try to use things that are non-pharmaceutical to help with that. BPC is a good one. Alka-Seltzer Gold is another good one.
Minerals.
And but having some, not being on an empty stomach, help with it not be quite so severe.
Anastasio Zika says, can you talk about the supposed bleeding effect of CJC-1295? He means pituitary bleeding, sure. He's not talking about actual blood bleeding. Of CJC-1295, what is your feedback from the clinics? Is there any desensitization reflecting on circulating IGF-1 through and after therapy?
When CJC-1295, I only have patients using that 5 days in a row and stopping for 2 days. I usually just have them all do Monday through Friday and stop Saturday and Sunday because where I live.
Is that with DAC or without? We have to actually, you know, qualify this now. Is it GHRP? I mean, is it actually a modified growth factor 1 through 29, or is it actually CJC-1295 long acting?
It's CJC-1295 long acting.
Okay, good. Okay.
Yeah, that's the one that I'm using. So I have them doing Monday through Friday, usually an off Saturday and Sunday, or we can use it 5 days in a row and off 2 days in a row. If they don't do that, I have seen desensitization. It usually doesn't occur right away, but after about 2 or 3 months, in one case it was more like 6 months, but they were using a small dose every day. They just forgot, and they were including it in their other peptides. And we did see that. We saw not only were they not feeling the same way that they had been feeling before, but in checking the IGF-1 levels, they were not as improved as they had been before. So I have seen that pretty consistently when I've had patients who have stepped outside of, usually they just forgot.
In fact, if you look at the early MK677 studies, a large portion of the elderly people when they were developing that quote unquote pharmaceutical, they were developing it for old people because they know old people need growth hormone. They just don't want you to buy growth hormone and inject it. They want to make something they can sell you. So they came up with MK677, which is orally activated. It's a long acting ghrelin agonist. That's what it is. It improves appetite. It seems to improve sleep. But because it's not physiologically appropriate, it's not causing pulses, it's just putting its foot on the gas pedal and keeping it there, the pituitary becomes exhausted. In fact, this is exactly the medical technology that they use for androgen deprivation therapy. They give men long-acting gonadotropin-releasing hormones, and guess what? The testicles go, hey, we can't keep up with this. We're done. We're not making testosterone anymore. So everybody's threshold, no pun intended, for their pituitary to peter out is different, but they always do. And this is why I am not a proponent of long-acting injectable or orally administered ghrelin agonists or growth hormone secretagogues, because your body doesn't even know what to do with that constant influx of growth hormone. It doesn't want that. It wants the pulse and the dip, because there's a nice balance in there. So I personally wouldn't use CJC 1295. I've always used modified growth factor 1 through 29 with my ghrelin agonist.
That makes more sense, especially if you're, you know, using it more frequently. If you're just using it not that consistently, I've seen good results in using a nightly dose Monday through Friday. I think that a lot of people aren't quite as rigid about the, you know, not eating 90 minutes before taking their peptide, and that makes a big difference in efficacy. You can, but you're not going to see the efficacy if you have a meal on board.
Yeah, because it's a ghrelin. It has to play with ghrelin. It has to cooperate with ghrelin. If you're not hungry, it says no. This isn't the right time to make growth hormone. Also, it's worth mentioning that. Oh God, something just jumped out of my head. Let's just answer these questions real quick. Thymosin beta 4 is also called TB500. TB500 is supposed to be a portion of the domain of the peptide. It's not supposed to be thymosin beta 4, but Anthony Roberts wrote a fantastic article about 7 years ago. He purchased and tested every thymosin beta 4 and TB500 on the market at that time, and it was all thymosin beta 4. There was no TB500 in the batch. So should we be paying attention if they're calling it TB500 versus thymosin beta 4?
I think so, because if they're calling it something that it isn't, then that's a little concerning. They would just call it thymosin beta 4. You're not going to get around the FDA's issue by calling it something different. So I think we should be a little bit more, I'm a little bit of a stickler about calling something what it is. A lot of people, they assume or they associate TB500 is the same thing as thymosin beta 4.
Yeah.
But I think you should call it thymosin beta 4 if that's what it is.
And you want thymosin beta 4. You don't want TB500. Yeah. You want the entire peptide. That's the good stuff.
Yes. That's the good stuff.
Here's a guy asking a question, and it's a very, very broad question. So it's going to be hard to answer. I can only tell you. John Tyne says, what's best for a 58-year-old man? Wow. That's a whole show.
Yeah, it is. I love that question, though. There are so many options. As some of the things that we've already talked about, let's just assume that thymosin alpha 1 and thymosin beta 4 are still available, and we're going to fix this, and we're going to have them available for a long period of time. Those peptides, in my opinion, are part of the preventative health model. They are naturally made in your body. They have functions that benefit your immune system, both of them, and your repair and recovery pathways. I'm also a big fan of the pentosan polysulfate, at least once a year, of course, once a year, knowing what it can do for your joints. Because in your 50s, we are starting to be in maintenance mode, or at least I think we should be, where we start really helping our body to turn tissue over and help repair. So without knowing any more than that, I would say that those are three that I would seriously be thinking about. And Epitalon. I know we didn't talk about Epitalon, but we're going to talk a little bit about sleep if we have time.
Yeah, we have time. We have plenty of time.
Okay, Epitalon is another one of my absolute favorite peptides because of all the functions that it does. It's a true preventative. I don't like using the word anti-aging because I don't think that means the same for everybody.
It's lost its meaning, by the way. Anti-aging has lost its meaning, but go ahead.
Yeah, we're all going to age. We just want to prepare. We want to prevent disease. And Epitalon works very, very nicely for that as well. And it's extremely safe peptide.
So what about hormones? I mean, for a 58-year-old man, he's got to need testosterone by now.
Probably. We're seeing younger and younger people needing hormone optimization. And we could talk for a whole, hours about why that is. There's a lot of theories about why that is. But the reality is that it's happening. And maintaining optimal levels of testosterone is really important. That's one. That's the basic for preventative health. So you want to make sure that you, if your doctor isn't really familiar with hormone optimization, you might want to find somebody who can do tests and kind of look at that from a preventative health standpoint, not just, oh, your testosterone's 230. It's fine, because it's not.
You know, it's funny. I've been doing the show for this is my 16th year. And when I started doing the show, the low end for men in testosterone was 480 nanograms. And then about 5 years later, it dropped down to 320. And today, I think it's 260. The lab assay, like at places like yes. Quest and stuff like that. Well, here, so we just did a show a couple.
Right.
We just did a show a few weeks ago. So now they're saying masculinity is a spectrum. And we are seeing more and more young boys going into puberty with very, very low levels of testosterone to spark their pubertal changes. And we're seeing alterations in their personalities and some other executive functions later on in life when they're 30 and 40 years old as a result of not having the testosterone. And the scientist that I had on, brilliant guy, he said, we need to start thinking of masculinity as a spectrum. Like, there's going to be like, this is crazy, folks. Like, you know, if this was happening, well, when this was happening to fish and aquatic life, we said, oh, we got to close those factories down because they're feminizing the male fish. You know, it's happening to humans, and we're going, oh, well, it's a spectrum. You know, right. Not all guys are going to be guys. Some guys are going to be half guy, half. This is the fact that people are sitting by and swallowing these explanations, to me, is shocking. I really think that that the human race is in real big danger. You know, maybe it's a couple hundred years, maybe it's 1,000 years. I don't know. But if we will, 200 years from now, we will be classified as breeders and non-breeders. There won't be men and women anymore. There'll just be those who can and choose to breed and those who can't and choose not to breed. That's what we're going to be. And then the breeders are going to be punished because we're the ones that are, you know, populating the planet. So we're evil. I'm telling you, this is Idiocracy. We're living the movie Idiocracy right now. We really are.
Yeah, that's not a future I want to be a part of. Let's fix it. Let's work hard to fix it. Well, if you think, you know, I think what you said was actually really key. Look at how the lower level of acceptable testosterone levels has lowered and lowered and lowered. What does that tell us? That tells us that our lab normals, this big span of normal, doesn't mean the span of normal healthy people.
No.
It's the span of a population of people.
No. You missed one word. It's the span of a sick population of people.
Fair enough.
If everybody had type 2 diabetes and they said, well, we're going to change the blood sugar levels. Instead of 125 being diabetic, we're going to move it up to 250 because everybody's at 125.
Exactly.
No, you don't change the target because nobody can shoot straight. You get them to shoot straight.
And that's what we've been doing with some of these lab values.
Look, yeah. I did my first show about phthalates in it was 2005. I did my first show about phthalates, the anti-androgen. It's in plastics. It's in if you have something that smells good, those things you plug in, they make the house smell wonderful. There's phthalates in there being vaporized into the air. They look like androgens, but they don't act like androgens. They have a high affinity to the androgen receptor, and they block the ability for testosterone to get to the receptor. This is the same thing as neutering a child. That's what these are. We live in a sea of xenoestrogens, phytoestrogens, xenoandrogens, phytoandrogens, and we wonder why, you know, we have people that are confused about their own sexuality. Of course they are. The brain the brain forms in the third trimester. The genitalia forms in the first trimester. If your mother was exposed to hormones in the first and then other hormones in the third, you'll be mismatched for the parts that you were born with. You won't be attracted to those people. There's two scientists that did studies in Scandinavia, and I can't get them on the show because they don't want to talk about it. But they created homosexual rodents. They created them in the womb.
Oh my goodness!
Yeah, this is not this is science. This is not anyway.
And we have a lot of the external hormone exposure. You know, we promote trying to be aware of that in the food, but there's just a lot of it out there.
Yeah. So, and you got to do things to keep yourself away from it. All right. So let's see here. You talk about mold, and a lot of doctors today talk about mold, and they talk about infections. Can these infections be tested in blood work? Can you test somebody and go, oh, my God, you've got an overload of this pathogen?
It's very hard to do in blood work. Some of these things hide inside the cell, and that's what makes it difficult. And you'll see people will get exacerbations of illness, and then they kind of feel better. And people, when they fast, and I always like to warn people of this, because you can't always look at somebody and know what their bio burden is. You know, it can be really hidden. You can ask them, did you live in, you know, certain third world? Did you live here? You know, where did you live in Florida? We have mold everywhere in Florida. There's no way to not be exposed to mold of some kind in Florida. So, but when they start to fast or they start to clean out their body, they can Herxheimer, like when everything starts to die off, they can get really sick. And so that's really something to look for with a patient or with a person. You say, well, if you started to fast and you started to feel like you had the flu, like sick, you can even spike a fever, you can have sweats, you're probably detoxing. And there could be, you know, a lot of it is a bio burden often. Sometimes it's other things, but the bio burden is really, it's a real thing. Sometimes you can do stool testing to look for inappropriate levels of certain bacteria. There are some specialty labs that will do that. I like using colloidal silver for people because it's such a homeopathic, it's so safe for us to use a colloidal silver. It's used all over the world to kill a lot of contaminants, but it doesn't harm human cells. So it can be used really safely in a lot of different modalities, and it can gently detoxify the body.
Okay. And when you treat these people, do you ever use LL37, or is that not in your repertoire to offer anymore?
Well, it's not. I have used it, but it's not in my current repertoire because we can't get it. But LL37 is super powerful, and most of the time, it starts killing off things people didn't know they had. So they often will just have this big detox, and they just need to be supported and managed during that time.
But I used it with my thymus and beta 4 post passing that stone because I thought if I cut anything, you know, maybe I'm prone to infection. And so I looked up some studies, and LL37 is present in humans when they have a UTI. The body is trying to fight the UTI. So I figured, okay, I did 250 micrograms a day for a few days just as a prophylactic. You know, I'm not taking any chances. But I know I like LL37. I usually run it maybe once every couple months, and I noticeably feel different after I run it, noticeably.
I think that's a great program, especially once you're on top of things. If somebody's first coming into it, you just have to be mindful. I mean, the same thing can happen with a stem cell treatment. If you start mobilizing your immune system and start killing things off, you can all of a sudden, whoof, you know, do a big detox and, you know, just supportive care and make sure you're managing the patient through that. And you know what it is, you recognize it. But I think LL37 would have been tremendous for us to keep in our arsenal, especially for travel. I mean, just all of
the research on it. So the research on it, most of it is in the treatment of antibiotic-resistant disorders, where the antibiotic isn't working anymore and LL37 works. It's, to me, I'm like, wait a minute, guys, it's not an antibiotic. You can kill pathogens with it. You don't develop a resistance to it like you do with antibiotics. Oh, I get it. You want us to keep buying the antibiotics. I get it. It's just so sinister. I'm sorry. It is sinister.
It's very frustrating.
We're going to take our last commercial break. Go to shrnetwork.biz/free gift. Get your free gift. Get your Peptology copy today. We'll be right back. Folks, I'm pleased to announce that Pure Nootropics is now carrying the antioxidant alpha-lipoic acid in its bioidentical natural form as R-ALA. R-ALA provides protection in many areas and has even been shown to promote weight loss. Check out the interview I did on episode 2608 back in October to learn more. Our friends at Pure Nootropics have been bringing you great products and deals since 2013, and they have another one with R-ALA. Go to shrnetwork.biz/pure and use code SHR30 for a whopping 30% off. Level up. Go Pure. As a listener of this show, you know how important your gut is to your overall health. Bioptimizers has a potent product to heal and repair your gut unlike anything else. It's called Leaky Gut Guardian. It's powered by patented IGY Max, an egg-based protein that enhances gut health, reverses antibiotic damage, and strengthens your immune system. Available in two delicious powders, vegetarian vanilla and chocolate carnivore. Simply mix it with your favorite beverage. Repair your gut and power up your immune system risk-free and save 10% off. Go to shrnetwork.biz/leaky gut. Don't delay. Fix your gut today. Peptology. Are you ready to change the way you age? Of course you are. That's why you're here. Juvecel is a new first-of-its-kind dietary supplement that includes 10 key research-backed ingredients shown in studies to support lifespan. Things like resveratrol, fisetin, quercetin, pterostilbene, sulforaphane, turmeric, all in a single dose. You may have some of these ingredients already, but Juvecel is the first to combine them all into a single product to support your lifespan. It's vegan, non-GMO, and sustainable. Live better longer with Juvecel. Go to shrnetwork.biz/livebetter. Use code SHR and save 20% off today.
Do you remember those delicious toaster pastries you had when you were a kid? You know, the rectangular sugar-filled snacks? Well, guess what? Legendary Foods has just made low-carb toaster pastry. This is the first of its kind, and honestly, these things are amazing. They have 3 to 4 net carb, less than 1 gram of sugar, and 9 grams of protein. You can eat them right out of the wrapper or lightly toast them. The only question is, which flavor? Strawberry or brown sugar cinnamon? They're available at eatlegendary.com and Amazon.
Whether your goal is to build muscle or burn fat, you'll find everything you need at Redcon One. Need help getting a good night's sleep? Try Fade Out, or the most popular pre-workout supplement on the market today, Total War. Sign up for their new Transformation Challenge and win $10,000. Or shop for apparel that people at the gym will know that you are serious about your training. Need a testosterone booster that works? Check out Boomstick. Whatever you need, you'll find the best quality supplements on the market at Redcon One. Go to redcon1.com. That's REDCON1.com, or go to superhumanradio.net and click the Redcon One banner ad today.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where brawn and brains finally meet.
Welcome back. Thank God I put the show through a conditioner before I put it out there into the world, because I'm all over the place with the soundboard today. We're talking with Dr. Heather Smith Fernandez. We're talking about peptides, autoimmunity, fasting, and everything else that's good and wonderful that you're not going to hear from the mainstream doctor either, by the way. I'm sure if you walk into your doctor's office and ask them. I had a guy just message me this morning who said he has a doctor that put him on TRT. This is a good question. Put him on TRT. And his GP said his hematocrit and his hemoglobin are starting to climb. Mm-hmm. And I have a theory on why this is with testosterone. We'll talk about that. And his primary care doctor wants to take him off. Says, no, you got to get off that TRT. And I said, why? Just donate blood every 2 months. Like, isn't that a simple solution? What do you think?
It's a very simple solution. We expect that because your bone marrow is actually increasing red cell production so that you can carry more oxygen. You can satisfy a bigger muscle mass. If you look at the people that live in high altitudes, they walk around with hemoglobin and hematocrit that are in the 50s. It's an adaptive function that happens in our body when we need to be able to increase oxygen carrying capacity. Well, a lot of people, I would hope it's not doctors that are confusing this, but if you see an elevated hemoglobin, that doesn't mean you have a clotting risk. Clotting happens with the platelets. If you have really high platelets, then you really need to investigate why that's happening, but that's not happening because of testosterone. So what can happen, though, is if the hemoglobin gets a little bit too high, it can make you feel a little sludgy.
Yeah.
It's just like your blood is a little bit sludgy. It's not a clotting thing, though. So yes, just phlebotomizing, donating some blood, or if you can't donate or you don't want to go, just have your doctor who's prescribing your testosterone pull some blood off. We do that for patients all the time.
Do you do it in the do it in the clinic?
Yeah,
that is wonderful. And how much do you take? You take a pint?
Not a full pint, no. Yeah. I usually take, 400 cc's,
right.
Maybe 300 cc's, depending right. on the size of the person. But
right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there's a lot of research that links regular blood donations to longer and healthier lifespan. Just saying. You know, you got blood in your body, and you know, some of your red blood cells get expunged and sent out of the body. Mm-hmm. But by and large, you know, the blood you have when you're born is pretty much similar to the blood that you end up with when you die. And you wouldn't drive your car with that oil. You know, you'd be like, oh, I got to get an oil change. I'm ruining my engine. But people are like, oh, no, you can't don't give blood. Why not? Get that dirty stuff out. The body makes new blood. And you've just cut the gunk in your blood down by a pint.
Yeah, I mean, it's noticeably people feel better. Now, women on testosterone don't usually have this problem, even on, you know, relatively robust doses or levels of testosterone. But for men, it's a pretty common thing. And, you know, there's nothing to be worried about with it. It's very, very common.
Question. Do you prescribe both long-acting esters and daily applications of creams to men?
I'm sorry, say that one more time. You cut out a little bit.
Do you prescribe both injectable mm-hmm. long-acting esters like cypionate and enanthate, as mm-hmm. well as testosterone gels and creams that are put on every day to your male patients?
I do, but I don't do them together. But
What I was going to ask you was, I have a funny feeling that men who mimic the natural pulse of testosterone by mm-hmm. rubbing it on every day and having that peak and that trough versus an injection that sends it up into the sky for 3 days and then back down again. I believe it's the injected guys like me that have the problem with the hematocrit and hemoglobin.
That may be true. I think it's really more a factor of how high is the level. You're not going to get with a topical topical testosterone, you're not likely to see levels that are at 1,000 or 1,100 or a free testosterone that's over 150. That's just not – the mechanism is usually just limited. It can only raise the testosterone so much. So if you have a topical and it's taking your testosterone from 450 to 650, which is a very common
modest
increase,
that's
then
modest.
You're not going to see that kind of hemoglobin increase. But when you in injectables, and I have my male patients do injectables twice a week. I don't like the once a week because of that big mm-hmm. spike and big drop. Mm-hmm. So I take their weekly dose, cut it in half, and have them do it twice a week. And for those that can't inject themselves, I have them come into the clinic and we do it for them.
Yeah, right. Yeah, no big deal. Listen, I want to thank you so much for coming on the show. The listeners go to shrnetwork.biz/free gift. You'll get a copy of Dr. Heather Smith Fernandez's peptology guide, and there's a lot of great information there. I'm going to download it as soon as I'm done with the show today, actually.
Oh, wonderful. Hey. Yeah. And I also did for physicians, any physicians watching that would like a more specific protocol, and the non-physicians can do this as well. If you select that physicians button, I'll do a full BPC protocol for you. And I wanted to say one more thing. The pentosin, you might get asked this. The dose on pentosin is 2 milligrams per kilogram. It's weight-based. So it's a couple times a week for a course of 4 or 5 weeks.
And that's it. And you do that once a year, 4 or 5 weeks, once a year?
Once a year is maintenance. And then if you're a little bit older or you have more joints that are already problematic, then twice a year.
I'm going to try it. I've heard so much about it for so long. For some reason, I haven't gravitated to it. So I'm going to give it a try.
I have some amazing patient stories, and I know we're out of time. But
no, we're not out of time. Good. Tell the story. It's my show. I can go as long as I want.
Oh, okay, good. Because this is probably my most dramatic and exciting. I have multiple stories, but I have a patient who had end-stage arthritis in both thumbs. Really bad, painful, and was starting to lose function. And he was a guitar player, like a fairly serious guitar player, 5 hours a day of guitar playing, played in a band at night and things like that. Middle-aged person, but a lot of wear and tear in those joints, was told by the surgeon they need to be replaced. There's nothing else to do for them. And if you have them replaced, you have a 50% chance it's going to feel better and 100% chance you're not going to play guitar anymore.
Aww.
Yeah. So he really struggled with that. And we had done PRP and had some success for about 8 or 9 months, but it was pretty uncomfortable for a week. And he just felt like this isn't a good long-term solution. So I said, let's try pentosin. And he was so doubtful that it was going to do anything. He's like, there's no way this is going to help. By the third week of treatment, he had no pain in his thumbs, back to playing full guitar. Just amazing.
So were those systemically delivered or did you inject them in the joints?
Didn't inject them in the joints.
Wow. So all his joints were benefiting.
Yes.
Wow. That is so cool. Yeah, I got to look into this. This is good stuff. Dr. Heather, thanks for making time to be on the show today.
It was my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
Take care. All right, that's it for today. We have another show planned for tomorrow. I don't know what it is. I should. If I took my job seriously, I would. But we'll see you tomorrow. Don't forget, share this show. Help somebody out. Share the show. Even if you just help one person. Maybe you'll go to heaven. Who knows? All right, see you tomorrow.